What do you like best about your wedding? Maybe you ladies will say, well, to see how beautiful the bride looks in her wedding dress. But if we are truly honest, the reception after the wedding ceremony is the big attraction. Am I right, guys? Put your hands up. Now, in the passage of scripture that was read to us by Helen, Jesus tells a parable of a wedding banquet, and like all the parables that Jesus told, it was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Most theologians feel that this parable was told at the time just before Jesus' crucifixion. And as Gordon J. Keddy in his book, He's Telling Parables, writes, and I quote, "The parable was something of the flavor of a last great summons to follow Jesus before eternal darkness envelops the careless and the indifferent." So let's jump in and unpack the parable. And there are four things that happen in the parable. The first, and this is my first point, is the invitation. Now, in the story, we find that a king prepares a wedding banquet for his son. Many guests have been invited, and when the banquet was ready, the king sends his servants out to notify everybody that it was time to come. Hurry! The food has been prepared and the choice meats have been cooked and everything is ready. In fact, we discover as we read this parable that the king actually sent his servants out twice to tell those who had been invited to come. Imagine that! There is nothing more annoying if you invite or you have invited folks around for dinner. You've gone to great effort to prepare a slap-up meal and delicious food, and those you've invited fail to catch up. Can you identify with that? We've had it happen. But the parable tells us that because those who were originally invited for various reasons didn't accept the invite, so the invitation was then extended to anyone the king's servants could find. Now, Jesus tells us that this parable about the king and the wedding banquet for his son is likened to the kingdom of heaven. We pick that up in verse 1. And just to let you see how this relates to the kingdom of heaven, the king represents God. The king's son represents God's son, Jesus Christ. The wedding banquet refers to all that God offers to meet one's spiritual hunger and thirst. Pardon for sin, peace with God, and the hope of glory with God forever and forever. It also refers to that final everlasting feast. And we've actually sung a number of the songs, I don't know if you've noticed this morning, a number of the songs that we've sung in some way or another has referred to that final everlasting feast where all the redeemed of the Lord will fellowship together with their Savior. It is what Revelation chapter 19 refers to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is a banquet beyond one's wildest dreams. the invitation and the call to come to the banquet represents the invitation that God gives to all to come and taste and see that He is good, to come and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's look at the second thing that happened in the parable, and this is my second point, the response to the invitation. With weddings, this is what we perhaps need to understand, because we work very differently. When somebody sends out an invite to a wedding, they usually have something like RSVP, remember, send wedding present. and we usually say, yes, we're coming, and they give you time. Now, in those days, the big thing was the wedding banquet or the feast. Invitations would be sent out, and then when everything was ready for the banquet, those invited would be told to come. It wasn't so important that you actually went to the wedding ceremony, but it was important that you went to the banquet if you were invited. And this is what happened in the story of the wedding of the king's son. Now, as we have already seen, the king sent his servants to call those who had been invited to come. But their response to this, we read in verse 3, is they refused to come. And so the king sent his servants a second time to the people to come to the wedding banquet. He tells them in verse 4 what's on the menu. It was the juiciest of steaks you could imagine. But again, their response was total disregard. Look at verse 5. They paid no attention. It also tells us they went off. One to his field, another to his business. In other words, they ignored the invitation and continued with their daily work and chores. And if this wasn't enough, verse 6 tells us that they seized the king's servants, ill-treated them, and killed some of them. And the upshot of all this was that the king sent his army, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned their city. Now, in what way does this apply to us today? The invitation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, goes out to all. It is not limited to a select few or a special group of people, but it is to all. And the fact that people refuse or pay no attention or ignore God's invitation is not God's fault. You see, it's exactly what verse 14 is saying. For many are invited, but few are chosen, or few accept the invitation or respond to the invitation. You see, God the Father is ready and willing to love, receive, and welcome all who come to Him. Jesus Christ, His Son, is ready to pardon and cleanse us of our sins. God the Holy Spirit is ready to renew and set apart us apart for Himself. The angels are waiting to rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. And God's unlimited grace is available to help us in all of this. And then we have God's Word, the Bible, there to instruct us in how to live. And finally, heaven is ready to be our eternal home. The one thing that we all need to do is to accept God's offer of salvation in and through Jesus Christ and to come to Him to receive it. You see, we will not be able to blame God if our eternal destiny is not around His banquet table in heaven. As Jesus said on another occasion, and we read this in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few find it. Jesus also said, I am the gate, or I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Though few enter the narrow gate, all are invited to come in. I wonder, have you availed yourself of what God offers you? If not, you only have yourself to blame. And so let's move on and see what's the third thing that happened in this parable. The third point is the invitation to the least expected. The parable now takes an unexpected twist, because those whom the king originally invited to his son's wedding banquet declined or ignored the offer. The king told his servants to go out and invite anyone they could find. They were to go, as verse 9 tells us, to the street corners and invite everyone you see. This was, there was to be no discrimination as to who was invited. Invite anyone you find. You see, this was like us going into the roads around here and inviting all those just hanging around. In other words, an invitation was extended to the least expected. And the story goes on to tell us that the king's servant did just that. Verse 10, they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus told this parable less than a week before he was arrested and crucified. It was directed largely to the Jewish people, and in particular to the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not accept Jesus for who he was. And they were totally opposed to him, and for some time they had been seeking ways to get rid of him. So what then was the significance and the meaning of this in the parable? Well, we actually get the answer in John chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. Where it tells us he, Jesus, came to that which was his own, the Jews. But his own did not receive him, yet to all, in other words, to all other nations, to all other peoples who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So we see in this the purpose of God, which is to offer to all people of this world, irrespective of nationality or status, his salvation in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in this invitation of the gospel, it is wide, it is full, it is broad, it is unlimited. In other words, it includes sinners of all shapes and sizes and every type. It says good and bad. Praise God that it includes you and me. As Bishop J.C. Ryle says in his commentary on this parable, no one will ever be able to say at the final judgment that it is God's fault if he is not saved. I wonder, have you responded to God's offer of salvation? Now, if this part of the parable took an unusual twist, what happens next is scary and a solemn warning. And that comes to the fourth point, the improperly dressed person. Jesus tells us that when the king arrived at the wedding banquet to meet his guests, we see that in verse 11, he noticed a man who was not wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. He did not have on a wedding garment. Now the assumption must be that the guests were provided with the appropriate robes by the king's servants. But somehow this man slipped in without being screened and so was inappropriately dressed. You know, it's a little bit like when you go to Woolworths now, before you get into Woolworths, you're screened. Yeah, it would appear that as you came to the wedding, as one of the guests, you were given a wedding garment. This man somehow slipped in, unnoticed. And the story continues that when the king noticed this, he confronted the man as to how he got in without the proper wedding clothes. And verse 12 gives us an interesting situation. No answer, we could say, was the loud reply. The man was speechless. In other words, he had no right to be there, and he knew it. So the king had him removed, and verse 13 tells us, thrown him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you might think, what an unkind and merciless king. No, my friend, this is a picture of the final judgment as we stand before the righteous judge. There will be no deception on that last day. Only those with wedding clothes will be allowed into the wedding feast of the Lamb. Only those whom the Lord has clothed with the garments of salvation and are arrayed in a robe of righteousness will be admitted. You see, this man was improperly dressed. And it is a sad picture of those who give the impression that they belong to Jesus Christ. They attend church regularly, they participate and partake in all the activities connected with the church. They know their Bible well and they speak the right talk. But they have never truly repented of their sins. Nor have they personally committed their lives to Christ. nor have they accepted him as their Lord and Savior. You see, a sham acceptance of Christ will not do. Only those who have the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness which Christ gives will enter heaven. Let's put it another way. Nothing that defiles will enter, as Revelation 21:27 says, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus ends the parable by giving his hearers a glimpse into the reality of hell, a place of weeping and gnashing or grinding and gritting of teeth, of being cast out from God's presence, outer darkness. And then there is this final statement in verse 14. It is, in fact, an appeal. For many are called, many are invited, but few are chosen. Few accept that invitation. And Jesus wants his hearers, as he wants you and I, to come to him so that we might have life. You see, the whole intent of the parable is time hurries on and the king will come soon. He has prepared the wedding banquet and he sends out the call, come, everything is ready. Have you, or have you not, got on the wedding garment? Have you been clothed in those robes of righteousness? Have you put on Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Let's just spend a moment or two in quiet reflection and contemplation. Almighty God, you know each individual here, you know each heart, you know who truly belong to you and who might not. And my prayer this morning is, Lord, that everyone who leaves here today will be able to rejoice and be able to say that they have been clothed in the robes of righteousness, which only you give them in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this now in his name. Amen.